The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Just a veteran guy that has been really, really good for us this year as far as obviously the goal scoring, but helping our young players play the right way. You know, he's been playing some pretty good hockey too, and he's been dealing with this injury, so hopefully he can get him back tonight.
That is Sharks head coach Ryan Warsofsky earlier today talking about Tyler Toffoli, who is still on the comeback from a minor injury. He is a game time decision, so the San Jose Sharks may or may not have their top goal scorer in the lineup tonight when they do take on the Minnesota Wild. The San Jose Sharks are taking on Minnesota tonight at 5 o'clock, 4:30 pregame, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. It is the first of the final five games of the year and the first of this four-game road trip, which after tonight against Minnesota is in Edmonton Friday night at 6:30. Sunday, they are going to be at Calgary at 5. Monday at Vancouver at 7. And then Wednesday, they are going to be hosting Edmonton in the final game of the season. Some of the news that has also come out today is that William Eklund has been named to the roster for Sweden for the upcoming world. So congratulations to William Eklund. And I know that he's definitely looking forward to playing at a high caliber level and being able to show that he can potentially be part of this team for the upcoming Olympics. And I hope it's just more of an opportunity for William Eklund to really show what he's capable of as the Sharks continue with their development of this young roster. And, you know, this is one of the things that we continue to talk about all year long is maximizing what the Sharks can do. And I think that, you know, when you have a relatively early start to your offseason like the Sharks do, middle of April, then yeah, if you can get your other players in other big time international competitions, you want them to be able to do so that they can then see even more about their game and learn to play at an extremely high level. And I hope that is what William Eklund is able to do. And then obviously we'll see more about the roster decisions for other teams going down. But, you know, right now, again, it's making the most out of this point in time for San Jose. And it's something that I very much, I'm looking forward to and seeing the Sharks in some big hockey, even if it's not Stanley Cup hockey. One of the moves the Sharks have made in the last couple of days is sending Colin Graf back down to the Barracuda to join them for their playoff run. Just in case there was any issue with anyone wondering why that did happen, Ryan Warsofsky did confirm that was the reason.
Yeah, I think it was just to help the Barracuda on a playoff push, get acclimated down there. So that was really the message. He's played really well when he was here. But you know, I think he has been with that team for a while. We want that team to go on a run, so get acclimated is the biggest thing.
And Colin Graf has been absolutely phenomenal with the Sharks this year in terms of a first-year player getting his first looks at the NHL in terms of a long-term time span. He came up at the end of last year, and I saw a lot of potential in his game, and I really liked what I thought that he could do at the NHL level. He was just young and relatively inexperienced. And then this year, he started out very hot with the San Jose Barracuda and showed that he belonged at the NHL level. And as the Sharks made more roster moves and as they made more decisions about what they were going to do at the deadline, it allowed for more opportunity plus injuries for Colin Graf along the way. And he had time to show that he can be an everyday player in the NHL. And that's not that I'm saying that that's just his ceiling, everyday player. I think he has the ability to be a very high performing player in the NHL. He was consistently getting points. He was consistently showing that he belongs. He was on the penalty kill. He was winning puck battles. He was good along the boards. He showed strength. He showed the ability to get net front and use positioning and his size and his strength. And these are things that, you know, you watch more and more of from a young player as they continue to develop. That means they're doing all the right things. Yes, you've watched players like Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith come in and dominate. And I don't know what Colin Graf would have had if he had been here the entire year from day one in terms of a point total. But I do think that Colin Graf has shown you a lot that he can start to develop for the future, especially looking at his two-way game. I mean, that's the thing that I am really looking at with him. And yes, we love the offensive exploits from any player, but a guy who can be a problem anywhere on the ice at any time, that's what I like to see. A tough defender, a guy who can win 50-50 battles, a guy who can go out there and score, can assist, can get it all done, killing penalties as well, be on the power play. Colin Graf has all those attributes in his game at an extremely young level, and that's one of the reasons why I am so excited about him. And I hope he does go down to the Barracuda and now and give them a big boost as they get into the postseason. It sounds like Chernyshov is going there as well. He's, of course, a very high-level player who's going to be able to help San Jose Barracuda in the postseason. So these are exactly the type of things that you want. It's about development right now. Develop these players, but also give them a chance to do so at the next level in the AHL. For a Chernyshov, for Graf, obviously he's been playing at the National League level and he's been great, but now you're going to get more of an opportunity for big games, big situational hockey. That's what the postseason is going to allow for development, and I'm very excited for all these guys. Head coach Ryan Warsowski was also asked about their penalty kill, which has not been a great unit as of late, and he was asked about what they need to do to rectify things, especially against a Minnesota team that can be lethal on the power play.
Well, I think it starts with our legs. When we're skating, you don't take the stick in fractions as much. So I think the big thing is making sure we're skating tonight. We don't need to be taking 3-4 minors against this team. It looks like they have those guys back. It's a deadly power play with guys that can really shoot it. So we got to stay out of the box tonight and really play a simple, you know, 5-on-5 hockey game.
And I think that when he's talking about, you know, legs looking tired, you know, the guys are at the end of the year. And he talked about it the other night. He doesn't know if mental and physical fatigue has really set in to the same extent that some people think it has. But he did talk about the fact that maybe there is a little bit of the sense of the end is near for the regular season. And, you know, the guys don't want to let up. And I know that Ryan Warsowski does not want them to let up. And they're all trying to gut it out to the finish. But, you know, it's been a long, tough year for San Jose. And, you know, when you're continually thrown into these difficult situations, when you are not as good as the other teams from a talent standpoint, when you've got a lot to work on, the little parts of the game, like a penalty kill, when it's just another difficult situation thrown on top of what is already an overwhelmingly difficult situation, it just becomes a lot to handle. And these are all professionals. I know that's the gig that they all signed up for. But you have to be realistic from a hockey point of view and just say, yeah, it's a lot for these guys to handle, especially a lot of the younger players who I think up to this point of the year have absolutely thrived, and you can't really ask for more at this point. But right now for San Jose, you are looking at them just overall in a difficult situation, and it's not just the fatigue factor. It's just the weight of an entire season coming close to being at an end. You know, you don't want to just go through the motions here at the end. You want to maximize it, and I hope that's what they'll be able to do. With the end of a career coming for Marc-Andre Fleury, Sharks head coach Ryan Warsowski was also asked about what Fleury has meant as a player and as a teammate for those guys in Minnesota.
Yeah, obviously that what jumps out to me is obviously he's an elite goaltender and has been for a long time, and his resume speaks for itself. But the personality, what he brings to the game of hockey, is probably even more valuable for me, is, you know, who he is as a person. From what you hear stories, you know, just what he's done as a professional on a few teams now. And, you know, he's a true pro in every sense of the word, but he also has got some personality, and joy that he brings to the rink every day. And I think it feeds off to the rest of his teammates.
And I think that's something that Warzo understands, is trying to bring that joy, that fun, that atmosphere where it's not just, you know, serious hockey at all times. I think it's the fact that he looks at all the successful areas that he's seen in coaching and notices the guys are having fun. And you don't want to have it be a dour environment. You don't want it to be down. You want it to be a place where guys want to be, where they want to have a high level of success, where they want to come into practice and have fun, because the hockey is fun. Now, take it seriously, of course, but you want to make sure it's a fun environment. It's one of the reasons why everyone points to the way it's going in San Jose versus the way it's going maybe in Chicago. And listen, only time will tell. But right now, I think it's easy to say that the young players in San Jose are having fun. Guys are having fun. They're having a good time. And that's in spite of a really tough season. They're still playing hard. They're still playing well. It's just a lot for all these guys to deal with. Warsowski was also asked about what the experience for Eklund being selected by Team Sweden for the Worlds will mean.
Yeah, it's really important, especially being in Sweden. I know, you know, Eki will be excited about that. And you go from, you know, regular season, and then, you know, the Worlds is playoffs. And that's how you have to approach it. And it'll be good for a guy like Eki to play in that environment, to play in that situation. It'll be a great experience for him and how he needs to play. Hopefully he takes some of those things and takes it back into next year's, you know, training camp. So I'm happy for him. He deserves it. He's had a pretty solid year, and I know he's looking forward to it.
And this is something that I always wonder about, as Warsawski will be coaching against Eklund then in the Worlds, is if he'll learn more about the proper utilization of his player from learning about coaching against him. And that's always something that I think is an interesting dynamic when you do get international competitions, is usually, you know, you're coaching your guy, you don't really know him if you've never coached against him. Now he'll be part of the opposition, and you might see different things about his game. You might see different things in his skill set. You might see different things in his tool belt that you didn't see before. And I think Ryan Warsawski is a coach that has the ability to look big picture at a player and be able to see what they're doing against his tactics and probably learn more about his own tactics and learn more about the player. I think this is just all why it's such a good opportunity for Warzo to be coaching Team USA, also for any other Sharks beyond William Eklund to get the opportunity to play in the Worlds. You maximize what you can right now because you want to be able to apply the lessons learned in later seasons of San Jose Sharks hockey that are more impactful, that matter that much more, that hopefully have the team taking steps forward and in the right direction. Now, it's easy to look at it right now and say, well, you know, they're not in the playoffs and we don't know if they will be next year. But still, the lessons learned right now can be applied down the line and help a team get back to the postseason, help a team get back to being in that conversation. And I think for the Sharks, being in quote-unquote that conversation is where they want to be, where people are looking at them and saying, okay, what are the Sharks bringing right now? What do they have in terms of talent? What do they have in terms of development left for these talents to do? What do they have? And you go down the line, you figure out where these guys are and on their developmental path. And that's all about what you can learn out of the Worlds. And also for Ryan Warsawski, it's a big opportunity for him to learn about himself as a coach and playing in more big-time and pressure-packed situations. Now, I know that there is no big-time pressure-packed situation or no more big-time pressure-packed situation than being a coach in the NHL, but it's tournament-style hockey in which you are facing elimination. That's something that you hope to get the most out of yourself and your team in very, very short order, and will hopefully give them greater preparation for where San Jose is going when they do get themselves back to the postseason. Warzo was also asked about the idea of playing spoiler against teams like Minnesota and Calgary coming up, who have not yet clinched. Obviously, Calgary currently 4 points out of the final wild card right now, and St. Louis is leading the Western wild card. But, you know, right now the Sharks have the ability to be disruptive as they head into these final games of the season.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we talked about that against Calgary, and, you know, it'll be the same philosophy tonight. You know, I think this is a team that is obviously getting some guys back into the lineup. They're desperate for 2 points, as we can see in the standings. Again, but we got to focus on ourselves and playing our way with our identity and have an understanding of they're going to bring it. We got to match the intensity.
And I do think that for the Sharks, matching the intensity and making sure they avoid a slow start like we saw in a couple of the games recently, which has been a bit of an issue all year long, is something that they need to focus on. And, you know, now is the time to focus on it. Don't let these habits get built in at the end of the year. I think at the end of the year last year, they were so beat up and so broken down that it was just not a great way to end the season. But I think right now, and they've talked about this, is that you want to show the compete level for these guys, that they can be part of the answer going forward. But you also want to see them, you know, be able to hit the ground running in training camp a year from now. And that means even, yes, with guys like Colin Graf not being with the team and going back to the Barracuda, but you still want to get the most out of what these guys can do this year and show that much more chemistry and show that they can hit the ground running and be able to play at a very high level next year. And obviously, you know, we don't know what the injury status is of a Tyler Toffoli right now, whether or not he'll play tonight. And also Jan Ruda made the trip, but we don't know when he's going to get back out there. He's not in the lineup tonight. But you would hope that these guys can get back out there and be healthy and just lead to a more positive end to the year. I don't know how many more wins the Sharks are going to get before this year is at a close. Right now they sit at 20-47-10. They are one more win than they had a year ago, and they are two behind what they had the previous season. So, you know, again, I don't know how many wins they have in them. If they want to get to 22-23, you know, that would be great as long as they didn't pass Chicago. And even if they did pass Chicago, it's not the end of the world. But, you know, right now I am more concerned about effort and desire and drive and willingness to show that these guys want to be here than I am necessarily with wins and losses. Wins and losses at this point are not going to have a great impact on the season. Right now, the Sharks are at the bottom of the league. And as I have said many, many times before, that's not a lie. That's just the reality. Now, do the numbers of the wins and losses tell the entire story? No, of course not. But they do tell a very, very clear story in terms of the fact that the Sharks overwhelmingly have not been a great team this year. They are 12-26-2 at home. They are 8-21-8 on the road. They are 2-7-1 in their last 10 games. They've lost three in a row. You compare that to a team like Chicago, who has three more wins at home than the Sharks do and one fewer win on the road than San Jose. And they are also 2-7-1 in their last 10, and they've lost one game in a row. But, you know, for the San Jose Sharks, it's about making the most of this opportunity for young players, for guys who are still developing, and for guys that, you know, are at an interesting crossroads in their career where they can prove that they want to stay in San Jose. If they can show Mike Greer and Ryan Warsawski that they are part of the quote-unquote solution, you know, then I'm all for it. It's more important to me to see the effort and to see performance than it is necessarily wins and losses. Because, again, as we look at the San Jose Sharks schedule, you know, a team like Minnesota, they are still in it. They have a lot to play for. Edmonton, much more to play for. Calgary, much more to play for. Vancouver's, you know, almost eliminated, but still, you know, we don't know how it'll work out when they play. And then, again, Edmonton. So, you know, they are going up against teams that are either close to the playoffs or in the playoffs right now. So that's a lot for the Sharks to have on their table. That's a lot for them to deal with at the end now. And those teams are playing for a lot more than San Jose is. And I'm not trying to take anything away from San Jose and say they're not going to try hard or anything. It's just, it's a different type of motivation. And I've talked about this before. A lot of the Sharks right now are fighting for themselves. What they're going up against are teams fighting for each other. And that's just a slightly different dynamic that fosters a little bit more of a high-level team performance than what the Sharks are going through, which is guys trying to prove themselves individually. And yes, you would hope that the individual proof leads to a greater team-wide production. I just don't know that it always does work out that way. I also think it's important at this point of the year to reflect on a lot of the cool things that we've seen this year from San Jose, and so much of that is on the future. Obviously, Colin Graf, who we talked about earlier, he's down with the Barracuda. He don't get an opportunity, but I would hope that everybody does tune into the Barracuda and see what they're potentially capable of doing in the postseason. I think they have the ability to make a run. I think that when you look at some of the players that are going to be joining them, I think that when you look at, you know, the way they performed all year, if they can get some health on them, their side with a Jimmy Schultz and Andrew Podorowski returning to things, and Colin Graf coming back into the lineup, and a Chernyshov, you know, that would be a very, very dangerous team. And I would love to see San Jose take big steps forward and, you know, see what they can do in the AHL's postseason. But, you know, right now for San Jose, it's about showing, you know, the youth to the fan base. And we've reflected on it this year. And, you know, beyond Colin Graf, you know, we've seen Macklin Celebrini play like a superstar in the NHL. And, you know, one of the things that I keep on coming back to is that he's only going to get better for many, many years now. And he hasn't even begun to scratch the surface of the player that I think he can be. I think his numbers, especially as the Sharks get more talent here in San Jose, are only going to explode. Will Smith, another guy. I mean, the growth that he has shown over this year has been absolutely phenomenal. He's been such a dangerous player. You can see the game slowing down for him. You know, I love his shot. He's got a great snipe. He's been so consistent as we get in later and later into the season. You know, this is when the year gets more difficult. You know, it's not, they always say October and November aren't what, you know, the NHL is like when we get deeper into the year and everyone's fighting and everybody's, you know, scrapping to the finish. This is the most difficult time of the year. Everybody's given it their all for one reason or another, and Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini have been flourishing. And we've watched other young players like Cam Lund be able to come in and make an impact. The aforementioned Colin Graf. Yaroslav Askarov was another guy who came up and got an opportunity to show what he could do, and we all loved what the potential is there. Obviously, he's been dealing with an injury, but he's getting back healthy with the Barracuda now and has been able to play. And, you know, that's exactly what you were hoping to see with Askarov, is just the opportunity for these guys to flourish as players, to be able to be at a very high level, and to be able to just be their best selves as they try and show what the future can bring for San Jose. And yeah, I mean, we've seen some minor injuries along the way. Macklin Celebrini obviously got injured right out of the gate. Yaroslav Askarov had to deal with an injury. You know, Will Smith's been relatively healthy, and so you can maybe point to some of the development plan that he was on early in the year, which some people didn't like. But, you know, at this point, you have to say it's been a smashing success for all of these young players with San Jose. No, they're not in the playoffs. No, it's not, you know, some dream season where they're going to be led by a rookie to a Stanley Cup. No, that's not reality. It's, you know, a great plot for a movie, but that's not how the NHL works out. The NHL is incredibly difficult. I was, you know, watching hockey last night and just seeing really good teams go against each other. The Panthers and the Maple Leafs were on ESPN, for instance, and that was just a fun game to watch. That was a lot of really, really good hockey, and you can see how good Florida is right now and how dangerous they're going to be in their cup defense. So, you know, that's where the Sharks want to be in a couple years. And it's pretty clear to see that they are not right now. But, you know, hopefully what we're seeing right now will allow them to build towards that in the future. All right, we are out of time. Again, 5 o'clock go time, 4:30 pre, right here on the Sharks Audio Network as the San Jose Sharks visit the Minnesota Wild in game one of a four-game road trip. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.